Hi, welcome back to Healing is My Hobby. I'm Jessica, and welcome to our Therapy is My Cardio segment, where emotional work becomes a workout and healing becomes the movement. We are 3 weeks into our grief series this month, and today's episode is one I've been thinking about for a long time, because this one is about a kind of grief that is almost impossible to explain to someone who hasn't lived it. What do you do when the person you're grieving is still alive? When the relationship technically exists, but something essential is gone? When you've had to create distance from someone you love or used to love for your own well-being? When you're waiting for a door to close that never quite does? This is some of the most disorienting grief there is, and it deserves a real conversation. As you know, with Therapy is My Cardio, we have a warm-up, a workout, and a cool-down. In this warm-up today, we want to explore naming it before you can work with it. In my practice, I work with a lot of women who are carrying this specific kind of grief. And one of the first things I do, one of the most important things I do, is give it a name. Psychologist Pauline Boss called it ambiguous loss. Loss without clear definition, loss without a clean ending, loss that exists in a kind of permanent in-between. And there are two main forms it takes. The first is when someone is physically present but psychologically absent. A parent with dementia, a partner who checked out emotionally years ago, a parent who was in the house but not really there. Not available, not attuned, not safe. You're in a relationship with them. They exist in your life. But the connection you needed, the version of them you needed, isn't there. And grief for something you never fully had is an especially complicated thing to hold. The second form is when someone is physically gone, but psychologically ever present. An estrangement, a divorce that's legally final but emotionally unresolved, a friendship that ended without closure, a parent or sibling you've had to separate from whose absence takes up a strange and heavy amount of space. Now you know what you're working with. That's our warm-up, because you can't heal something you haven't named. Let's move on to the workout, doing the hard reps. I want to explore 4 shifts that actually move the needle in session. What makes ambiguous loss so painful and so clinically significant is that it denies us narrative. Humans heal through stories. We need a beginning, a middle, and an end. We need something to point to and say, that's where it happened, and here's what I've made of it since. Ambiguous loss doesn't give us that. It gives us an open loop, and open loops are exhausting to carry. So what does the work actually look like? Here's what I notice. Shifts in session. And these are your 4 reps today. Rep 1, separate the person from the role. So many women I work with feel guilty for grieving a parent who is still alive. They feel like they're being disloyal or dramatic or unfair. But here's what I help them see. You're not grieving the person as a whole. You're grieving what you needed from them that wasn't there. The mother who was attentive and safe. The father who showed up. The partner who was present and consistent. The role grief is real. And separating it from the person makes it easier to hold both. To grieve what you didn't get while still having some kind of relationship with the human being in front of you. If you want to. You don't have to have a relationship. And we're going to get into that. I know we're going to have a series on boundaries coming in 2026. Let's move on to rep number 2. Name the specific losses inside the larger loss. Instead of trying to grieve the relationship, which is abstract and overwhelming, we get specific. What did you lose? Safety, consistency, being known, having someone in your corner, the version of the holidays you always imagined, the phone call when things get hard. Naming the specific losses makes them grievable. It gives you something to actually work with. Rep number 3, release the requirement for external resolution. This is often the most powerful shift. The healing from relational grief does not require the other person's participation. It does not require an apology. It does not require their acknowledgement. It does not require them to change or to see what you see or finally give you what you needed. Your healing can happen inside you. It can happen in your own processing, in your own therapy, in your own journey toward understanding what happened and integrating it into who you are. You don't need them to close the loop. You can close it yourself. That is not easy work, but it's liberating. Rep 4, let grief and love coexist. Grief and love are not opposites. You can grieve a person and still love them. You can grieve a relationship and still choose to maintain it. You can grieve what was never there and still wish them well. These are not contradictions. They are the full, complicated truth of loving imperfect people in an imperfect world. I love that. Let's move on to our cool down as we let the work settle. After a hard workout, we don't just walk off the floor. We breathe, we stretch, we let the body integrate what just happened. And that's the same thing we do here. This week's reflection is for anyone carrying this particular kind of grief. I want you to think of a relationship, past or present, where you've been grieving something that was never quite there, or something that used to be and isn't anymore. And I want you to ask yourself, what specifically did I lose? Not the whole relationship. What exactly do I wish had been different? Getting that specific might bring something up, and that's okay. That's actually the goal. You did great work today. Let it land. Next week, we're going to be closing out Grief Month with something I think is going to resonate deeply. We're talking about identity grief, grieving a version of yourself, the self that existed before the thing that changed everything. I'll see you then. And if you'd like to read my blog or stay up to date, you can sign up for the newsletter at healingismyhobby.com. You can follow me on Instagram at healingismyhobby or on YouTube at healingismyhobby. And if you'd like to know more about my clinical practice, you can visit jessicacolarco.lcsw.com or follow me on Instagram at jessicacolarco.lcsw. Thank you. See you next week. Mm-hmm.